Welcome back, everyone, to the 2019-20 school year. My name is Tana Simoncelli, and I'm the Instructional Tech Specialist at St. Charles North High School. So I've been inspired by a member of my PLN, George Kuros. He is the author of Innovator's Mindset. In his book, he discusses the innovator's mindset, and there's 8 characteristics, which I'm going to focus each one of my podcasts this year on each one of those characteristics and how it can help you in the classroom. So this first one is empathy, which I find to be a very valuable piece to have in your classroom. Let's discuss the difference between empathy and sympathy. So when you think of someone's hardships or loss and you collectively sympathize with them, that's sympathy. Whereas empathy is placing yourself in the situation and walking in the shoes of those that had a hardship. They both encompass compassion and allow us to provide environments of trust and comfort. 2 really valuable resources here at St. Charles North, I find, are Stephanie Stavropoulos and Matt Cermak. And these 2 individuals are on our student support team, and they meet with students on the regular, and they can also support teachers within their classroom walls. Let's go ahead and dive into a conversation that we had the other day. So today we are meeting with some fantastic human beings that we have here at North Star Country. I'm going to let them introduce themselves and what they do here to serve our population.
I'm Stephanie Stavropoulos, and my job is Student Support Specialist.
My name is Matthew Cermak, and I am a Student Assistance Counselor.
So Stephanie, tell us why it is so important for us to build a culture of empathy within our classroom walls.
Well, our teachers create a really safe classroom in general, and it's important because it enables open discussion among the kids. Anytime we're increasing kids' ability to consider others' perspectives and feelings, it allows for more open dialogue. It's good for kids to feel safe in the classroom so that they feel more cohesive and more part of the group, more connected to the school.
I love that.
It's really important now because there's more and more diversity in our population. Developmentally, kids are kind of figuring out who they are. Socially, emotionally, they're figuring out their politics, they're figuring out what they think about religion, they're in a state of change. And the more and more diversity there is among our kids, they're opening up to new perspectives of other people.
Yeah, and I think too, when we think about how technology is advancing our society, it's important to have that cohesion where students are face down into a device so many times, you know, during the day, that we have that real interaction face to face. So, Matt, tell us some ways that teachers can facilitate empathetic, you know, culture building in their classroom.
Absolutely. And again, I think our teachers do a great job of this already. But first, I would say being an example to your students. Knowing that your students watch you, they learn from your character and behaviors as much as they do from your instruction. Being a consistent example of empathy and exuding a caring, compassionate, understanding attitude, they'll definitely follow your lead. I would also say identifying shared values and differences. Discussions and activities go a long way towards helping students see how they align and differ from others, facilitating opportunities for students to be open with one another and safely discover what others' perspective may be. Can really help develop that empathy with teachers as well as students.
Excellent.
Even more specifically, like, I think, you know, when kids are engaged in debates and discussions, it's really helpful to say, you know, why would one think that? How would one feel that way? Like, what would change if something was different? And I think we do that in our history classes, in our literature classes, in our art classes. You know, kids are exposed to different things that in their little silo of St. Charles North and St. Charles in general, where there's not a lot of diversity, it's just nice to expose our kids to a variety of all kinds of things. So that when they become world citizens, you know, they're more equipped to engage in dialogues and be more more open to what the world has to offer them.
Absolutely. And I think what then it leads to, you're talking about these world citizens, like this global, you know, collective of human beings. When they get out of here, having empathy is so important, especially when they move into, you know, a parent role or a colleague role, mm-hmm. and they have to work collaboratively with others. I think it's so important to, you know, have that skill set moving forward. So is there anything else that you guys would encourage teachers to do just to not break boundaries with students, you know, but to really push teachers to a point where that culture is established quickly? Like, would you say it's better to do this quicker in the, like, at the beginning of the school year rather than over time? Or what do you think about that?
Well, when they establish classroom norms, it'll be about listening to one another and problem solving together. And that language should be, you know, that we're going to be learning together and valuing each other's perspectives, and maybe calling attention to, you know, people's diverse philosophies and backgrounds from the start. Mm-hmm. And I think teachers do a great job of that with the icebreakers and get to know you activities, which the kids don't know are so important. But when you get to know another person as another fellow human being with like experiences and feelings, that just kind of opens up, you know, the avenue to, like, really getting to know someone and care about someone.
Right.
And I think piggybacking off of that a little bit, as teachers, including a lot of stories, stories perhaps one of the closest things we have to walking around in someone else's skin, they can make the teacher feel more human to the students and develop an ability to understand and sympathize with others' experiences. Sharing that we all experience our own reality and we bring those with us everywhere we go. So helping a teacher become less of an inanimate object, I guess, and more mm-hmm. of a human being that exists in this world as well and has experience, sharing those stories, appropriate stories with boundaries obviously in place. But
yeah,
I think that allows students to attach a little bit better. It allows them to feel like my teacher's a human being. He's not just the know-all be-all,
yeah.
and or the, you know, the hammer. So I think that that's helped to share stories. Helpful.
A word's coming to mind, vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You know, showing kids that you are vulnerable and that you are human. You know, I walked into Kohl's one day when I was a first couple year teacher, and a girl looked at me and she goes, "Oh my gosh, you shop?" You know, and it's like, yeah, I wear clothes and I come
food.
To work and eat food and wear t-shirts, you know. So I think you guys bring up very important pieces of, you know, just having that human interaction and relationship. So what would you say are icebreakers to maybe stay away from working with the kids that you do? Or does that cause anxiety, you know, when we do these icebreakers? Or is it more helpful or does it hinder? What do you think?
I think it's helpful in general. I think avoiding labels or like black and white thinking when it comes to that. I think our kids, even on their social media, they're so comfortable and safe in their silo of what they know. It's usually pretty one note, and they haven't experienced a lot because, you know, St. Charles North is a small world, but a microcosm of the bigger world.
Mm-hmm.
So just to avoid, I am Democrat versus I am Republican, I am male versus I am female, I am heterosexual versus homosexual, like kind of avoid the tendency to like label oneself,
mm-hmm.
And maybe to describe in more vague descriptors might make sense. But I do think in general the icebreakers are great.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, I think that when we say anxiety, we're talking about a natural reaction, right? We're all nervous coming to school the first day.
Right.
Everybody's nervous walking through the door. Who's my teacher going to be? Is my friend going to be there? Am I going to get the seat that I want? You know, is this class going to be hard? That anxiety is totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think going into a classroom and having a planned activity, a structured activity like that, to reduce some of that anxiety
mm-hmm.
is a beautiful thing. And even the teacher last year that shared that about his anxiety and his depression, his stroke, that's huge vulnerability.
Right.
But that connected everybody to him.
Yeah.
Everybody during that presentation was glued to that story.
Yeah.
Because it attaches, he is a human. He
mm-hmm.
struggles too.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite so far has been apologizing when I make a mistake to a student. How much power that gives back to that kid, that this person talking to me can make mistakes too.
Yeah.
And apologizing, teaching a skill that when, you know, some accountability when you own a mistake. to see their eyes light up that you're actually a human being, you're not just this big power that hovers over them. I think that allows for not just a leveling, but kids to feel comfortable sharing things with you or confiding in you, because you may be the only adult that they trust.
Right.
And that's really, really important.
Well, I want to thank you both for being here today and offering, you know, your time up, but also how can teachers get in touch with you, or what kinds of things can you guys provide for their classroom settings moving forward if they want to work with you and build that type of culture?
I'm in room 416. My email is publicly searchable. I love doing this stuff. I've broken into the health classrooms, not literally, but to do presentations with the freshmen, and that's been absolutely wonderful. So if there are teachers out there that are struggling with this and mm-hmm. would like to sit down and have some help, room 416 is open to you. And let's make an appointment to sit down and figure it out anytime.
Wonderful.
I'm located in Student Life and would also welcome any conversation about this topic.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much. I later decided to talk to my partner in crime, Ben Wagner, to gain perspective from his early years in his career. Based on the junior high school model, Ben engaged in many roles during his time as a classroom teacher and coach in a Title I school. So let's chat with Ben on how he established a culture of empathy with his students. Thank you, Ben, for offering up your time and expertise. Let's have you introduce yourself and what your current role is here in North Star Country.
My current role is the LRC Director and Media Specialist, which basically means my job is to help people. My job is to help students and staff with any media needs they have, technology needs, anything that they need. My job is to help them out.
Excellent. So could you do me a favor and define what empathy means to you in the classroom based on your experience in the classroom?
Empathy to me is when the students feel that what they're saying is taken into them, and like you're understanding what they're saying, and you are trying to put yourself in their shoes.
Okay.
And so when the students know that you're making a conscious effort to do that, that's when that empathy really comes through from both sides.
Okay. And so you were in many different roles.
Yeah.
At the junior high level in a Title I school.
Yes.
And so you have kids with different backgrounds coming in. Tell me a little bit about how you got to know some of your students more on a personal level to give them that feeling of trust.
Honestly, I would talk to them before class. I would talk to them during class. I would talk to them in the hallways. I would go to the lunchroom and say hi and talk to them and see what they're doing. I would ask them how they're doing, and many times the kids would say, fine.
Okay.
And then the next thing out of my mouth would be, can you say that without lying?
Interesting.
And many times the students would say, no. I said, when you will want to talk, I am here for you.
And how long, I mean, it's hard to say, but how long roughly after you would say that would a student feel comfortable coming and talking to you?
Usually within a day or two.
Okay.
They would come, and then, and, you know, I'm just having a bad day at school, or I'm having, you know, a friend problems or whatever it is, but that not accepting fine was helped them understand that I was there for them. Now, if they didn't come to me, and then it was fine.
But
that's
fine.
They're fine, but I was still checking, like, how are you doing now? I'm fine. Can you say it without lying? And sometimes they would smile and say, yes, or now I can. But knowing that I was looking at the cues both from their eyes, their posture, their the way they're saying things, that I could tell there's something there, just that extra question, can you say that without lying? It's not me calling them a liar. It's giving them that out. No, yeah, I really am fine. Or I'm not fine, but I don't want to talk, so no, I can't say that. It gave them that out that they wouldn't have had if I said, you're lying, even though we would both know they were based upon everything else.
Okay. Interesting. So do you think that because your course, so you were teaching music, you were teaching band, you were coaching cross country, do you think that because of that intimate setting of proximity, do you think that helped? Like, do you think it helps to have proximity with students? to build and establish that empathy to walk in their shoes?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think it depends on the student. Some students, you can make a great connection and, you know, they could be the quiet kid who just likes being in your classroom. And you're not necessarily talking with them every day, but you may have that moment where you see them, you kind of smile and say hi, and that's it. And that's all that child needs. But then other childs would need that intimacy of coming up and talking to you. Hey, can we talk mm-hmm. about this? I think it just depends on the student for what they need.
And what was an activity or something that you did to help establish those personal connections?
I was me.
Okay.
And as crazy as that sounds, and as everyone knows here, I am different. I'm crazy. I am willing to do anything. You know, I was trying to get one of my choirs to just crescendo, get louder, and I have it stop, and they couldn't get it right, so I'd run into a door. And the kids would, and I'd say, this is what I want your sound to do, and they would go, oh, and then after that, it was perfect. Because I was so comfortable with myself, kids took comfort in that.
Love it.
And so they weren't, it wasn't, oh, I'm doing this because I'm a teacher. It was, this is who you really are. I've seen you do the crazy things. I've seen you do everything that you're supposed to, but you are genuinely you. And so when I was talking to them, they felt as though I was me genuinely wanting to know them.
So they were actually empathizing with you.
Correct.
And they saw that vulnerability. I think that's really an important piece to showcase here. Talking with Ben is that he is him. He is Ben Wagner to a T. And I, now that I've shared an office with him for over a year, I think, you know, I've gotten to know that side of you that is so endearing to others, you know, and you always want what's best for kids. And that's something that we have always found comfort in, knowing that each other have that. We've got that going for ourselves. So, any last pieces of advice as far as how to drive that relationship building home with your students?
Be honest with your students. And part of empathy is knowing when you need to have that teacher role. So you can share with them, but you know, if I had a student who would say something, and I had an eighth grade student, her smile was different. And I went up to her. I said, how are you? I'm fine. Are you really fine? Yeah. I said, okay. Well, okay. Again, day after day, are you fine? Are you fine? And then, and she finally said, why? I said, well, your smile's different. And then she started opening up, and I said, some of the things that you're telling me are signs of something deeper that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you right now, I'm going to go talk to the counselors, let them know that we had this conversation, and they'll probably be following up with you. And she got really mad at me and wouldn't talk to me. I mean, she was in choir. She would only do the bare minimum, wouldn't look at me. And then one day, and she was always at school, never missed school. And she was gone for 2 days. And she came back and she said, Mr. Wagner, I want to let you know that I had those thoughts that you said might happen over the weekend. And you said if I ever thought those things that I should talk to my parents. So I went and told my parents. In the last 2 days I was at a doctor and I'm feeling a whole lot better. Thank you for knowing what I was feeling before I knew what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. Now get out of my head. But we had the relationship. I mean, it was funny because she's like, it freaked her out. But by that same token, I didn't cross those boundaries. And she knew, as mad as she was for going and telling the counselors and for doing and reporting everything, she knew I did it because I genuinely cared about her.
Absolutely.
And because she knew that, she felt like that, even though she was mad, I didn't lose her trust because mm-hmm. she knew what I was doing was genuine for her.
Well, thank you so much for giving us your take on what empathy is and how you establish those relationships moving forward. Is there anything that you would like us to know about the LRC this year?
Why, yes. We have a phenomenal professional development library. that as we find books, we're putting them in there. Mrs. Christensen has been doing a great job just bringing us tons of books to put in there. But we have one book called Better Conversations by Jim Knight. It actually has an entire chapter talking about listening with empathy and how to listen to students and communicate with students as far as creating those empathetic relationships.
Awesome. And so again, that was Better Conversations by Jim Knight, and it's coaching ourselves and each other to be more credible, caring, and connected. I think that is a great resource, so you should definitely
check it out.
So let's take our classroom to the next level by having open discussions, make our students feel heard and connected, embrace those that bring diversity within our walls. Always be an example of honesty, consistency, and compassion. Be the teacher and have those clear boundaries and expectations of how interactions should ensure safety and care in and out of our classroom. This is Tana Simoncelli signing out for this month's Star Speak. Tune in next month when we dive into being a problem finder and get one step closer to innovation in the classroom.